Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, John, let's actually start with that story. You know, I want to talk about the Vietnam Wall, the wall that heals. I got a chance to see it in person in Butte over the weekend, and it was just very powerful, such a powerful experience at the Vietnam Wall in Butte, Montana. I want to talk about that, but let's save that for one of our longer segments coming up here. But yeah, Aaron Flint here. We've got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, in the house with us here, kicking off your week on this Tuesday. John, there's actually, a Montana angle to this story, but you were saying the Fifth Circuit just made a big ruling when it comes to illegal aliens and guns. Give us the news. I hadn't seen this out of the Fifth Circuit yet.
Yeah, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers several southern states down there, including Texas, they ruled over the weekend that Second Amendment protections, the right to carry a weapon, does not apply to illegal aliens. And they were basing that on the one basic fact that they're already in the country illegally. They committed a crime just being here. So, no, they do not have those protections. And that, in my opinion, that should apply across the board. You're hearing all over the country in different states, they're allowing illegals to sue people in courts and stuff. How is that even possible?
Case dismissed. Yeah. You're illegal. You broke the law getting here. You shouldn't even be here. Case dismissed. No, I find that interesting because there's been a couple of different rulings with regard to do illegally aliens have Second Amendment rights. There's even a little bit of debate within the gun rights community because some people will argue, well, anybody has constitutional rights on American soil, and so therefore, no matter how you got here or whether you're here or not, you have constitutional rights, so you have Second Amendment rights. But then there's others who are saying just what you said, which is, no, you're in this country illegally. You do not have that right, right? And so, but what's interesting is there was a headline, Gallatin Gateway Man Arrested on Gun Charges. It was an NBC Montana headline a while back. This was like 2 weeks ago. No, he's not a Gallatin Gateway man. He's actually a man from Mexico. And the reason why he got arrested on gun charges is because he's an illegal alien, so he's not supposed to be here, and he's not supposed to have guns here either. But I verified that with the U.S. Attorney's Office because, yeah, I saw this headline, Gallatin Gateway man arrested on gun charges. Why was he arrested on gun charges? Oh, because he's an illegal alien, another illegal alien in Montana. Surprise.
NBC always does the greatest, most biased commentary out there. And people that would think that illegals have those rights, think about American citizens. You get deprived of the greatest right you have if you commit a heinous crime. You know why? Freedom. You go to jail. You're deprived of that most basic right. I mean, you're a U.S. citizen. These people committing crimes coming in here illegally here do not have rights.
But it's amazing. The very people who want to take away our guns are okay with illegals having guns for some reason. Gee, wonder why. All right, let's talk about the Vietnam Wall in Butte next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, John. So, I was in Butte for some events Friday night and had a son playing a football game in Butte Friday afternoon as well, and then did an event in Butte Saturday. And I was so glad that I ended up being in Butte towards the tail end of last week because I kept getting messages and we got phone calls from some of our listeners all week long. And they were telling me, especially our fellow veterans, they were telling me how powerful their visit was to what's called the wall that heals. The wall that heals. This was in Butte all last week up until I think Saturday night, maybe into Sunday a little bit. But it is a traveling exhibit of the Vietnam Memorial back in Washington, D.C. And I was kind of telling you this during the break, John. I've visited the wall in Washington, D.C. several times, but there was something about visiting the wall in Butte on Saturday that I thought was even more powerful. And I was trying to put my finger on why was it more powerful to see even a replica wall in Butte than the wall itself in Washington, D.C. And I think one of the reasons why is because I think of all of our Vietnam veterans that live here in Montana that have probably never even been back to Washington, D.C. to see their wall, their memorial. And so there was that. There was seeing the Vietnam veterans there that you could tell were just overcome by emotions of seeing the wall. Anyway, I think that was kind of my biggest takeaway upon seeing the traveling wall in Butte this weekend.
You have to go. For any vets out there, particularly the Vietnam vets, get on Twitter, get on X, and go visit my friend's site. He is at 44 Magnum Blue One, and his entire page is dedicated to honoring those fallen veterans, the 50-some thousand that were killed over there in that war. And he's been doing it for, I want to say, 2 or 3 years now. And I don't know how many he's through now, but, oh, my, I mean, it's amazing the work he does.
Well, and I think for me, too, you know, as an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran, we have been treated so well by this country, by so many great Americans. I mean, when I would come home from a deployment, you would take off your uniform in the airport because you would get overwhelmed by people thanking you, trying to buy you coffee, trying to buy you water. It was the opposite for our Vietnam veterans. I remember General Dale Stovall, who lives in Missoula. He was the deputy JSOC commander once upon a time, but he talked about coming home from Vietnam. He had to take his uniform off, like many of them did when they landed back home here in America, because of the hate that they would receive from the anti-Vietnam protesters. And so I think that was another, you know, aspect of it for me, is that, you know, us Iraq, Afghanistan veterans, we all owe so much to the Vietnam veterans. We owe it all to those who never came home. But also the reason us younger veterans are treated so well is because of these Vietnam veterans who were determined to make sure that nobody else, no other veteran would be treated the way they were treated when they came home.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that as right as the Vietnam War was ending and all those boys were coming home, that's right when you had Richard Nixon having to leave office and then an interim president. There's 3 or 4 years that were just pure chaos, and those veterans never got the honor they deserved from the public, not to mention the fact that people that you talk about that gave them all that hate, we all know who that was. Leftist, communist, Democrats.
Well, and also I think, you know, some of our callers pointed out, you know, they didn't even receive that well by their fellow veterans either. Some of the older veterans didn't receive these younger than Vietnam veterans as well as they should have been received at the time. But I think the other reason why it was such a powerful experience for me personally on Saturday was because I think this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, and Tim Sheehy has talked about this in his remarks to fellow veterans. I've heard him mention this before, is that because of that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and then all this woke stuff and the attacks on our military and you know, take the jab or get kicked to the curb, all this stuff, I think we have a sense, not a total understanding, but a sense of the betrayal that our Vietnam veterans felt when they came home. I think we have just a sense of the betrayal that they felt and the anger that can create.
I had a special bond with those guys, and I'll tell you why. So many of those guys coming back then went into federal law enforcement, and I ended up having those guys in the operations that I was doing down in South America. They ended up being the senior guys or the bosses. Combat veterans from Vietnam, and here I am, this young pup, you know, this is my first thing I'm doing, I'm in my 20s, but here these guys were, they were Vietnam vets, and you know what, you felt safe with them, you felt like they knew what they were doing, and as long as you were with them, you were going to be okay.
And they were going to have your back, too.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to throw you under the bus, like a lot of these politically correct, how do I move up the ladder quicker type of folks that we see too often in leadership in America today. Robert in Belgrade, your thoughts. Thanks for the call.
Well, big thumbs up to you for having the wall there. And it was awesome. But if anybody wants to see it again, they can come to Bozeman. We have a full-time wall in Bozeman. A lot of people don't know about it. It's dedicated in 08, and it's there full-time all the time.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And, wow, and you want to talk about
another thing.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Another reason the Vietnam people were put down, the troops, is the news media. They put out this stuff about what was going on, killing people and babies and stuff. That was the news people. It wasn't only the Democrat, but it was the news people, because those people that were protesting, they were not there. They heard their stuff from the news media.
Yeah, and the media would sensationalize things and exaggerate things. And, man, we even saw that, of course, in Iraq and Afghanistan. They would ignore whatever the enemy did. They would ignore what the terrorists do. They ignore what Iran does to their own people, of course. But then, man, if they can run down America, they would sure run down America at every opportunity, won't they? Or shall I say, don't they? Don't they? Present tense. All right, hold that thought. Quick break.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, thanks to Robert in Belgrade for calling in and letting our listeners know, because, yeah, I'll bet a lot of folks either, you know, didn't realize it was there or it's a good reminder nonetheless. But Legion.org, the American Legion, actually has a photograph of the Vietnam Wall and Monument that they've got in Bozeman. The organization responsible for the installation is the Friends of Sunset Hills Cemetery and Bozeman American Legion Post number 14. And so, yeah, basically looks like full-size replica of the Vietnam Wall. And, man, I'll tell you what, the one thing I was going to add there before we had to go to that hard break was, like, man, when it comes to Memorial Day weekend, for example, the folks there in Bozeman and in the broader Gallatin Valley, I mean, they bring all the Gold Star families that want to come out, and they do big events every single year. So just incredible work there. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's see. Let's just jump right into the phone lines here, and then we'll mix it up more with John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter as well. Frank in the Paradise Valley. Frank, what's on your mind?
Yeah, just had a great time up the Will Fall Rodeo this weekend. Ran into Tim Sheehy and his family on Saturday. Talked to him. Him and his family, his wife intermingling with the crowd. And he was received very well. And on Sunday, his son won the mutton busting. And what was really great was when they interviewed his son, the interviewer asked him, how did you prepare for the mutton busting? He said, I practiced by riding on my dad's back. And it was just a great time. So it was awesome.
I saw somebody share those photographs on X or Twitter, as it's referred to, of his son winning the mutton bust, and great photos. I'm sure they get some practice on their ranch there by Martinsdale as well.
Yeah, but I it was just hilarious. I practice on my dad's back. I mean, you just gotta love it, huh?
Well, you know, that's what's kind of cool is he takes his kids with him everywhere. Man, I'll tell you what, you know, taking your kids out there on the campaign trail, because there's some crazy folks out there that you know, just say awful things, and they don't care if there's, you know, children there or not. They will say and do some of the nastiest things on the campaign trail.
For sure, but everybody was decent in White Sulphur. I mean, he was received really well. So, well, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Great to hear from you. Yeah, appreciate the phone call. John, one of the things, you know, we've been talking about, I think you and I talked about this last week, is this big story, this University of Montana student-athlete, speaking of the U.S. Senate race, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy versus liberal Senator John Tester. Here we are a week later. We broke the story on our Montana Talks website. A student athlete from the University of Montana. She's also a student journalist. She's a junior studying journalism. She breaks the big story how a dark money group backing John Tester was offering cash paid endorsements for these college athletes to endorse Tester. The women especially refused because he voted in support of men taking over, you know, partaking in women's sports. Almost all the entirety of the Montana media has refused to cover this story, showing how partisan and biased they are towards the Democrats and towards Tester. But yet Fox News, the UK Daily Mail, the Washington Times, several national and international publications have covered this story. Joe and Helena says this. This is why Joe and Helena thinks that so many in the Montana media refuse to cover this story. He says, the truth is, Tim Sheehy is pulling away from Tester, and the media won't report it because if the money dries up, they lose the cash cow. Sheehy will be declared the winner by midnight. That's from Joe and Helena. I think there's something to that. These TV folks in particular are making bank off of these campaign commercials. And so, yeah, if they report the facts about John Tester, the race is over. In a major way. And so they're protecting John Tester because they're protecting their cash cow.
Well, and also, like we pointed out a few minutes ago, imagine for 1 second if that was Steve Daines, okay? If that was Steve Daines, it was caught up paying kids to endorse him. First of all, the Montana, it would be all over headline news across every spectrum. And then they would have reporters going to all the big universities putting out, did any of y'all get asked to endorse John Tester? Were any of y'all paid? Then they would have people following Daines and all his people around constantly talking about that, wanting to comment on it. It would be a scandal that would last for weeks. But instead of that, it is cricket.
Yeah, and they have never reported on John Tester voting to allow men into women's sports. They continue to refuse to report on it because they're protecting the guy. They didn't report on him when the vote was cast. They didn't report on it when Stephen Miller called him out for it. Nothing. Just like they don't vote on how he voted to kill the Keystone XL pipeline and so much more. All right, next up on the phone lines, let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, thanks for the call.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I just have a comment to make about something that the media never seems to cover or anything. It's just not mentioned much at all, if at all. And that's this illegal immigration that's going on and has been for 4 years terribly. Of course, it's the estimates are somewhere between 12 and 15 illegals since Joe Biden and Kamala Harris rolled out the welcome mat. But my point is that it's well known that these migrants or immigrants or illegals, whatever you want to call them, coming in through Mexico all have to go through the Mexican drug cartel's turf. And they charge, on average, $1,000 a head for these people that come through there. And let's say there was 10 million of them that come in the last 4 years, and $1,000 a head times 10 million, that's $10 billion that's gone into the coffers of these human traffickers and drug cartels. That's a lot of money. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are directly enriching and these human traffickers and drug dealers.
Oh, well, yeah, very clearly they're aiding and abetting the human trafficking organizations. John Jackson and Tom, I don't know if you saw this, but the governor of Colorado was on ABC's This Week, and John Carl actually pushed back on him a little bit. He was highlighting the fact that Kamala Harris is now campaigning as if she supports a southern border wall. She's got a wall. I got to turn on his microphone so you can hear him laughing at the obvious. It's absurd, right? So she has, in her campaign commercials, a border wall to make people think she supports a border wall. John Tester does the same phony thing, tells you that he supports the border wall when he's already been on camera criticizing the border wall. He's voted in support of the open borders policies. But anyway, listen as Jonathan Carl pushes back on the Democrat governor of Colorado.
Well, but wait a minute. She called the
back and monitoring.
I mean, she called the border wall a medieval vanity project, a stupid use of money, and said that she would block funding for it. So she wasn't talking about supporting, the wall.
That's true. The border wall that Donald Trump has proposed is a huge boondoggle and waste of taxpayer money.
See, so on one hand, he's saying, oh, no. She supports the wall. She supports building the wall, but not Donald Trump's wall. See, Trump's wall has, you know, orange hair and a red hat on it. Her wall doesn't have orange hair and a red hat. So that's why her wall is better. I mean, these people are so phony.
Well, if you remember, this is this same woman that when the COVID jab was developed, she told everybody, if that's Trump's jab, I won't take it. Remember that? And then like 3-4 months later, it's when they're in office, then it's take the jab or get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how incredibly full of Adam Schiff these people are. But, you know, to your other caller talking about $1,000 a head for the illegals coming up through Mexico, here, there's some sad news for you. First of all, it's way worse than that. It's way more money than that. If these people are coming up all the way from South America, it's way thousands of dollars more than $1,000. And here's the weenie. Guess whose money that is? Our money.
That's right.
That's your tax money through Joe Biden's budget out to these NGOs that's paying all that money to human traffickers to flood our country with illegals.
Yeah, that's right. And you're paying more for groceries, gas, and everything else. Let's go to Mike in Anaconda. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Well, as an aside, first of all, Tim was... Shay was just on RAV this morning. I don't know if you knew that. And he spoke very well of the problems of that we have with the current government. But my main reason to call is I'm a hospital administrator of 30 years and all around Montana. And I don't know if there's anything to Tim's position on health care, that he wants to privatize that. If it is, I think it's a mistake because, you know, we got killed by Obamacare for 10 years.
Yeah, and, still getting killed by it, yeah. So,
I would take the position of, you know, let's just keep, you know, I went around the state and I think we should keep the dual system in place, private and public.
Yeah, so I think if you reached out to Tim Sheehy and went to one of his, you know, meet and greets and heard his position on healthcare, I think you guys would find each other in complete agreement. But it sounds like you're hearing Chuck Schumer's phony campaign commercials and wondering if there might be something to them.
Exactly. That's why we need to clear that up, because I think that's kind of hurting
us. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I think he's going to be in the House tomorrow alongside Arkansas Senator and fellow veteran Tom Cotton. Mike, thanks for the call. I think the VA is a great example of where his position on health care stands, which is we've got to improve the VA, not end the VA, whereas what you see happening right now is Tester and Biden are taking away community care options for our veterans. Anyway, stand by.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The new documentary, The Cattleman's Wife, recently debuted. The story centered around the life and legacy of Montana's Babe Goggins, wife of the late Pat Goggins, offers a unique glimpse into the role she played in her family's success and the larger agriculture community. I spoke with Brian Anderson, husband of Babe's granddaughter, Becky Anderson, on how the documentary came together.
Getting to know Pat and Babe and marrying into the family, I got to see kind of from the outside what they put together. And everybody talks about what Pat put together and the newspaper and the As I See It articles. But then nobody really ever spoke about who was beside him throughout this entire process. He went through the process of trying to get a point of view from Babe's standpoint as to what she saw and how she helped Pat, you know, build ranches and stockyards and the newspaper and everything that they've put together. And throughout the entire process turned into not as much as she saw it, but more about Babe and the role that she played as a mom, a grandmother, a great grandmother now, and the being a pillar of a community and what she's done in regards to the growth of the family and basically just being the rock for everybody. It turned out different than what we initially started it kind of wanting to look like, and it just turned into its own story. And
to watch the 20-minute documentary on the 93-year-old Babe Goggins and the impact she's had on Montana agriculture, visit Lane Nordlund Ag Podcaster's Facebook page. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, thanks to Mike and Anaconda. Great guy. Got a chance to chat with him a little bit more during the break there. But, yeah, so basically, John, here we go again. Like, you have these phony lying campaign commercials paid for by Chuck Schumer and his dark money allies. Tim Sheehy wants to privatize health care. Okay, he's not advocating doing away with Medicare, Medicaid, any of that stuff. And a good example, a good case in point is the VA. Is veterans health care. He's talking about strengthening veterans health care. That's what happened when Donald J. Trump was president of the United States. They strengthened the VA. They lowered wait times, and they provided more community care options. So instead of having to sit in a van and drive 6 hours across the state of Montana to make your back hurt even more after being stuck in a car seat for 6 hours. No, you can go to the hospital right in your own hometown, or go see the doctor right in your own hometown, or maybe one town away instead of 10 towns away, right? And so, but what we're seeing now is VA is on a steep decline since Joe Biden and John Tester took over 3.5 years ago, because they want to force everybody into a government-only solution, which means long wait times, worse care, and more tax dollars.
If you made me king of the world tomorrow, Aaron, I would go right back to what it actually says in the Constitution. And you would have the federal government doing law enforcement, military, and taxes and levies. And that's it. We're pulling out of everything else, and the free market will decide. The free market out there will provide you the product through competition. Okay? Period.
So, you know, when it comes to healthcare, frankly, look at our government debt right now. Nearly $36 trillion in debt. It was only $6 trillion when Tester first campaigned for the U.S. Senate. And so, frankly, like, what happens when our government can no longer meet its obligations? What kind of situation are we going to be in then? All right, let's get to another caller on the phone lines. We've got Dean in Billings. Dean, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron, how you doing? And John, Aaron, we've met a few times. I'm a Vietnam-era non-combat veteran.
Well, thanks for your service.
I was listening to the Wall That Heals discussion, and I heard you say one thing that prompted me to call, and I've got two or three points, I guess, about the returning vets. You said that a lot of the older veterans at that time were not all that receptive of the vets returning. I remember my dad was a World War II vet. He's passed now. He was a CB on Guam, fought during World War II, and during the Vietnam War, he hated Nixon for continuing the war, and I can remember him always saying, World War II was the war to end all wars. We sacrificed, we lost all our friends to end all wars, and this country's got us into another war. My own personal situation, as I was in college, it was during the draft. I had to drop out for a quarter to make money to continue college, and within a month, I got assigned my number for the draft, so I ended up joining the reserves. To avoid going to Vietnam. The interesting thing is, even to this day, I lost friends in Vietnam. I think one of the issues that I believe happens is that people who were against the war and trying to discuss it with in-country vets, the in-country vets would take that as an affront to them and their service. And, you know, I always say you can hate the war, but you've got to love the vets. I mean, they did their duty. They followed their orders. But it's hard to have a conversation with them regarding the war, the political side of the war, or why the war existed.
Yeah. Well, and I can see where they're coming from on that particular front, because I agree with you. Look, you can disagree with the war, but not disagree with the warriors, right? Where the line becomes a little more blurry is, one of the things that always frustrated me in the early years of the war in Iraq, of OIF, not Desert Storm, but of OIF, was the fact that both parties sent us there, but then immediately one side started to politicize everything and inflate any bad news story out of Iraq. And I felt like they were undermining the war effort, the war that they sent us into, in order to help themselves politically. And so that's where I think that's where they can cross the line. I mean, former Democrat Senator Max Baucus, I just thought it was just despicable. He was one of those that sent us in and then immediately started undermining us, I think, to capitalize off of it for political purposes. That's my own personal opinion. Dean, thanks for the call. John, your thoughts?
If that's one of the reasons everybody asks, why does the system despise Donald Trump like they do? And that's one of the main pillars of it, is he came in saying no more foreign entanglements, no more forever wars. And that's exactly what needs to happen here. The lesson from Vietnam till today is that neither political party, our government as a whole, cannot be trusted with those war powers. Because you know what they do? They will spend 10 and 20 years over there, trillions of dollars of our money and the blood of thousands of young men. And the place when it's finally over is worse than when we got there.
Well, and that's the thing. Donald Trump can criticize the forever wars, but has also shown support for the war years, which is why the war years, overwhelmingly, polling has shown, love Donald J. Trump. Because even those who maybe even supported the initial decisions are like, why is it going on this long? And why are we fighting the same war year after year after year after year? It's because of these bureaucrats in Washington and these politicians, which sometimes includes the brass, are just milking this thing. And here we are. And so... so, yeah, that's why he's standing up to these forever wars right now. John, another topic I wanted to get your take on. I wrote a story for our Montana Talks website specific to Labor Day. And I wrote a piece on why I believe union guys, labor union members here in Montana are understandably ticked off this Labor Day. And I basically went into this rant about how, look, whether it's railroaders that lost their jobs because of the war on coal in places like Glendive, or they were told get the jab or lose your job, or auto workers that lost their job because of electric vehicle mandates, or the environmental groups destroying timber industry union jobs. But then there's another angle, law enforcement. And so think about this. You're a retired federal law enforcement officer. I was talking with a police officer in Livingston on Friday. He joined me on air, but what he told me off air, and he gave me permission to share this story, is will really get you fired up. As a city police officer, he is a member of his police officer union. Unfortunately, his police officer union is under the umbrella of the Montana Federation of Public Employees, which is currently led by former Democrat Senate candidate Amanda Curtis. Remember her Trayvon Martin hoodie and her crazy YouTube videos?
She's a communist.
They did not endorse one of their own union members in the legislative race in Livingston. They endorsed some radical leftist who isn't even a member of the union. And again, the Defund the Police Party has no interest in backing police officers, even if you're a part of their own labor union.
And what all police officers in Montana that are a part of that should just withhold their dues. We're out. We're not paying for it until we have our own union that represents police officers and nobody else. We're not going to be some communist left-wing group that we know hates the police.
Well, and or break away from MFPE. They obviously don't care about – they didn't care about the school teachers that were forced to wear masks. They lobbied against you. They didn't care about Colstrip. They pretend to care, but they didn't do anything for you. All they care about is growing government, and that's it. So maybe the AFL-CIO and the union representing police officers and others should break away and defund the MFPE, some of the very same left-wing wackos that supported the defund the police crowd.
You see this going on. That's been my question, like, say, for the NYPD, say, Chicago, some of these big blue city police departments that just treat their officers just horribly. And you don't understand, like, you remember back in the day, 20, 30 years ago, if something came up, next thing you know, you had police unions out there raising hell about it, threatening sick outs. Sometimes they did do sick outs. They let the management know, we will not tolerate this. Officers will not tolerate this. Where are those unions now?
Yeah, good question. Well, that's why more and more police associations all across America are now endorsing Donald J. Trump and actually calling on Kamala Harris to apologize for her actions and rhetoric. All right, Marilyn and Lolo, I'll get to you right after the break. I didn't want to have to cut you off mid-stride. So, Marilyn, we'll start with your call next.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone calls here. Marilyn and Lolo, sorry for the wait. I hope you're able to stick around. What's on your mind?
Oh, that's all right. So I always have a lot to say as usual, but... So this may seem insignificant and not a big issue and totally off topic, but the roundabout. So I found myself a few weeks ago down in, at Stevensville High School fighting, talking, listening to some people about the roundabout. Vision Zero, we've all heard about Vision Zero, right? This group that's wanting zero fatalities and injuries on Montana roads. Really? Okay, there's some agenda behind that. Okay, I always knew that. So look up Vision Zero, everybody, and the advisory board. There are people that have DEI, ESG, Agenda 21. You'll see all these little words that jump out at you that it's European. It comes from Europe. It's a control thing. It's a depopulation thing, and yet they will tell you it's all about our safety. These people are from Boulder, San Francisco, Oakland, Seattle, Vietnam, speaking of Vietnam, and they all started like with, and these are young people kind of, I'm old. Okay, they started in the bike lane, you know, doing the bike paths and the, everybody ride a bike.
And then they never ride their bike in the bike lane. It's like, there's a bike trail right there. Why are you in the middle of the road? Hey, anyway, so you don't like the roundabouts, but you're even more opposed to them when you see some of the groups and individuals that are backing them. Is that kind of a good summary? And there's a big one proposed down there in your neck of the woods. DOT has been doing some listening sessions on, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, at the Bell Crossing. And they've even got a family planning girl on their advisory board. Now, why would that be?
Yeah, John, what do you think about roundabouts? I know some people that they're like, man, I hated the idea of roundabouts. But then, you know, I kind of like the roundabout now because I can get through traffic a little faster. I don't get stuck sitting waiting at a light forever. To me, it depends on where you're at and which roads. Some roads the roundabouts work on, some they don't work on. It just all depends. Anyway, what's your thoughts on the great roundabout debate? No, it's a big issue. I mean, it was contentious when they proposed it in Poplar on Highway 2, and of course, it's contentious in Maryland's neck of the woods as well.
I got a roundabout story for you here. Yeah, now everybody knows just how famously bad drivers are in Latin America. Just horrendous. If you've ever been there, it's like Mad Max. It's like Road Warrior. Out there, right?
It can't be worse than East Africa.
Oh, dude, let me tell you.
I don't know.
Well, they put these roundabouts that are five lane roundabouts.
Oh, like the French ones.
Imagine that, right? Now, add a five lane roundabout into people that drive like it's a Mad Max movie, okay? I mean, this one place near where I live down there, they call it the Circle of Death. Because you would enter into this thing, and I mean, you had better be, it seriously was like being in some kind of NASCAR race, because you had better be watching all angles and have your foot on the brake and the gas at the same time.
I love the people that drive in the middle of the roundabout and then stare at you like, why are you driving towards me? Because it's a roundabout. And they just stop in the middle of it and stare at you. Oh, man. I was going to tell a funny joke about my friend Dan and Big Timber and his 40 license plates, but I'm going to hold off from telling that one. I get the concerns. I think they work in some places and they don't work in others. That's my take. Let's see. We're getting short on time here. Chris in Columbia Falls, did you have something quick to share?
Yeah, you know, you're talking mostly about physical wars, and yet there's a greater war that we are fighting right here in America. And as long as I can remember from the 50s, 60s, and on up, you know, and it's this one word, collateral damage, how the media has distorted the whole premise of what collateral damage was for. And you have six people that were murdered over there, and one was an American, and yet he's just a collateral damage now. And it's happened so many times. And it happened in the Vietnam War. And there's a little girl running through the streets. And the media is doing this to you.
You're particularly talking about, the Middle East and an American citizen among those innocent hostages that were slaughtered and murdered by the Hamas terrorists. Yeah, Chris, thanks for raising that issue. And I know we're short on time here as the hour is quickly escaping us here. But what a good point is how the media will focus on some things but then not focus on other things. And here we have an American who was slaughtered by these Hamas terrorists. And where was he found? Tom Cotton, who's going to be on the show tomorrow, by the way. Tom Cotton will be in here, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, along with Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, because Tom Cotton's going to be in Montana. He made the point over the weekend on Meet the Press. Where did they find these slaughtered hostages, including an American? In Rafah. The very place Kamala Harris was lecturing the Israelis not to go into. Why don't you lecture the Hamas terrorists and stop lecturing our allies?
And did you hear Bibi Netanyahu's speech over the weekend in response to all this BS from Harris and Biden? It's probably his most defiant and patriotic speech I've heard him give. And the basic message of it was, F you. We are going to finish this war. We are not going to give up all of these areas that we fought with our blood and treasure to get there. We're ending this. We're not listening to any more of your interference.
Hey, we ran out of time. Earlier this morning, I caught up with Lily Meskers, that University of Montana student athlete and student journalist. She was on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox on Friday night. Go back and listen to the interview. I've got the audio on our Montana Talks podcast recapping all the media attention that she got and did not get last week.